It's been good. We're very connected to this couple and becoming more connected. They are a part of this house. We are so excited about the school that Greg and Becca are bringing here once a month. It's full. Can't take any more candidates if you didn't, but it'll be other things that you can become a part of. But it's just so good. So I want both of you, if you would, just come and stand for just a minute. And would you stand to your feet and just stretch your hand this way? You know, one of the things is if you get a gift, how many of you know you need to utilize it? And so God has sent this couple here as a gift to this house, and I want us to put a demand on that gift. You know, if I'd wave at me, George, so everybody know George. This is George. If I would bless George with my Harley, the Harley's the gift. But how many of you know if he just let it sit in the garage all the time, he would never put a demand on it? Amen? And so what I want you to do is stretch your hand this way and make this declaration with you. Say, Father God, we put a demand upon the gift, the grace, the authority, and the anointing that you've put within this couple, that you've sent here today for the aligning, perfecting, and maturing of me to do your work. So today, I will receive and I will be changed in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a big hand clap. You got liberty.
Can you hear me now? Let there be sound. Yeah? Well, I'm so excited to be with you guys. We love being here at City Gate. And you guys feel like family to us. And it's just like almost like being at home. We love you, Clay and Susan, with all of our hearts. And we are so glad to be connected. And I know several of you here in the room are in the class. How many that are taking it? Are you enjoying it? Are you learning stuff? And woo, it's like a fire hydrant, right? And in many ways. And so we're having a great, great time. And I'm excited about what I'm going to share with you guys this morning. It's a message, actually, that the Lord started speaking to me and giving to me in May last year at Pentecost. And so it's a message that he releases me to share at different times and in different houses. And it's, you're going to be very familiar with it. Hey, guys, it's Acts 2, and it's verses 1 through 4, and it's about when the Holy Spirit fell at Pentecost. And the Lord told me to look this up. I was in intercession. He said, Becca, look this up and study word for word for word, the fullness of everything that happened when the Holy Spirit fell at Pentecost. And, you know, I've been Spirit-filled, you know, walking, you know, got saved at 12, been Spirit-filled, gosh, at 21 when I was Spirit-filled. But when I began to study this and the Lord began to speak to me about this, literally, guys, my whole even thought process, myself, and paradigm began to change about, look at the fullness of what God has done and what he has given us. And the beauty of this is, it's not just us, it's our family members and generations to come. And I'm going to share with you this message this morning and what it is, the promise that God has given us. You know, and I know you're in a great house here. You're getting incredible teachings. And, you know, but the reality is sometimes, you know, when we understand fully what God is giving us, we can begin ourselves to step into the fullness of it. You know, sometimes we have to appropriate what God has given us. And so it's like what Clay was saying, you can get a gift, but if it sits in the garage and the motorcycle is never started, then it's just a gift. It's not actually being used, and the blessing of that gift is not occurring in that person's life, right? And so I'm excited to share this with you. And one reason why I'm excited to share the word with you is I'm a part of the Apostolic Council of Prophetic Elders that Cindy Jacobs leads, and we meet every November, and we pray for 2.5-3 days, and and hear the Lord, worship together, get prophetic words. What are you saying in this season? And Greg comes with me, and he's in that meeting, and he can attest. You know, Clay, you even just said it earlier, and I started giggling about the suddenlies. You know, with this word suddenly kept coming up in this meeting, and that we're in a season where we're going to see suddenlies. How many of us need a suddenly? Yes. How our nation, in many ways, needs suddenlies in a lot of different areas. Amen. We need suddenlies in our lives. We need suddenlies in our nation. We need suddenlies in our cities. We need suddenlies in our family. We need suddenly in our health. We need suddenlies in our finances. And so this was something that God kept bringing this word up suddenly in the ACPE meeting. And so I, you know, when that started coming up, I wanted to jump out of my chair. I was like, oh, you know, because God had been birthing this message since Pentecost Sunday since last year. And so I'm excited to share it with you. I want you to hear it. I want you to receive it. I want you to let it go deep within your spirit. And I'm just going to pray, Holy Spirit, as I am sharing this message this morning, Holy Spirit, I just thank you. You will come and you will go into those deep places. Lord, that you will go into our thoughts. You will go into the innermost part of us that can respond to you. And that you will seed in us that we truly can be so filled with you that we are transformed and miracles begin to happen. You are a God of miracles. You are a God of signs and wonders. You are a glorious So, Holy Spirit, as I am sharing this word this morning, I just say, come and have free reign. Lord, take us where you want us to go, corporately and individually in the Spirit. We say yes and amen to you. Isn't God good? So, I'm sure some of you probably heard this, and I'm going to start with just a few terms and scriptures that we were hearing like consistently, this group of us, 30 of us that meet together. And then I'm going to head into this message of Acts 2. And even with what we've seen happen with Scalia last night, and all of a sudden we're in this kind of like suddenly moment that, you know, we weren't expecting, and what's got going to happen? What is God going to do? And, you know, part of this, what we were hearing in this meeting was that it was in November, and that within the next 6 months from that time in November, that the political landscape of our nation was going to change drastically right before our eyes. And so we're seeing a lot of this unfold. But we also, what we were hearing was that in what is happening, even if it looks like a little bit of confusion or what's going on here, that this was a year that there was going to be a divine reversal and a divine reset. Not just even for our nation is that possibility there, but for each of us. This is the kind of season that we're in. I love that Clay is saying that he's being intentional. Right? Because if we are going to step into what God has for us in a season, we've got to be very intentional about what we're doing to get there. We have to partner with the Lord, yes? And so one of the things that we kept hearing, people had this, I had my notes, divine reversal, divine reset. Many people had that as well. And then Cindy decided that she was going to give it the theme this year, the turning of the tide. Because of all the different, you know, things that we were saying. And guys, when we come together, we pray and worship. And it's not just we come together and say, thus saith the Lord. We get in the Lord's presence together. There are 105 pages of transcripts from that meeting this year of all the prayers, the prophetic words, what God was saying. So there were themes that kept coming up over and over and over again. And so Cindy said, I'm going to call it turning of the tide year. And we're going to see these divine reversals and these divine resets. And when she said that, I thought, what does that mean? What does turning of the tide actually mean? Now, I know what it means, but I wanted to see that definition. And literally turning of the tide, it means reversing the trend of events. And it also means the air power that helped turn the tide in battle. And so we all got really excited about this because this air power, guys, this literally is our prophetic agreement with the Lord. It's our prophetic intercession with the Lord. It's our prayers and that we are partnering with the Lord that will turn, that air power that will turn the tide in battle. Not only that, but we kept hearing and we are sensing it. I'm experiencing it. I'm sure many of you in this room will say it. Clay, I'm sure you will say it. The Lord, it's like the angelic army has been released to partner with us. And there is like even angelic air power that is occurring that we are even seeing an increase and an acceleration in. Like when we are even going to nations. And I know there are angels. How many of you know we all have angels, right? All right, in this house, you know, we know this, right? God has given all of us angels. And they're here with us right now. They're with us. They're assigned to us. They're with us. They hang with us. They go with us. I have four angels that I can hear. At times I see them. I know when the Lord positioned them around me and that they go with me. And but sometimes I'll be preaching in the nations and people are like, man, you had two of your angels on either side of you today. It was awesome, you know. And I can hear them. When I go into other nations or even in our nations and I'm praying and we begin to worship the Lord or I begin to prophetically prophesy, I can hear the angelic army prophesying with us, worshiping with us. And when we begin to worship and release God's word, I can even begin to hear the clash of the kingdoms that is happening in the spirit realm. Now that's kind of fun. So we have air power that is going to help us reverse and turn the tide in battle, yeah? How many of you have been in a battle? How many of you like to, yeah, right? You want to see those suddenlies and those breakthrough come. And so the scripture that the Lord gave us and that we kept hearing repeatedly over and over again was Isaiah 59:19. And it says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now that is an incredible promise from the Word of God, right? And so the Lord told me, look up this word standard bearer. So I looked up standard and then standard bearer. And many of you probably know this definition. Now, you know, I didn't know what it meant. I knew what it meant, but I didn't know what it meant, right? And so I looked up standard bearer. And a standard bearer was one, especially in the old days, right? When they would go into battle and he would have a banner for their battalion. And they would go into battle in this battle. And he'd be right next to the leader or the commander. And he would keep waving it. So if they got scattered on the battlefield when they were battling their opponent, he could say, here we are. We're pressing forward. Follow us. Keep moving this way. And he would cause them to be able to group around this leader that they could have victory in battle. It was considered a great place of honor to be a standard bearer. So not only is God raising up a standard against the enemy, but he is calling us to walk with him, that we are the standard bearers, that we're rising up and we are partnering him and we with him and we are waving the flag saying, this is the way to go. And when we pray and we prophesy and we decree and live our lives, as he is saying in this season, we are establishing a standard for him. Now listen to this. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will set up a standard against him. God is fighting on our behalf. God is for us. Amen? Another scripture, Psalm 56, verses 9 through 11. In the day I cry to you, then my enemies will turn back. Do you hear this theme over and over again? When the enemy comes in like a flood, when we cry out to the Lord, when we cry out to him, my enemies will turn back. See, this is a year, what we were hearing was that we were going to see a clash of the kingdoms. But what we are going to see is God's standard rise up in the midst of the clash of the kingdoms. The enemy will turn back. Amen? That excites me. I'm going to read the whole thing. In the day I cry to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, that God is for me. God is for me. Say, God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not fear. What can man do to me? If we got God on our side, what can man do to me? What an incredible promise from the Word of God. This is a year, and I know that you have heard this. You guys have had Dutch in. He's probably said some similar things. This is a year where God is raising up a prayer army. It's been happening. He is raising up an apostolic prophetic remnant in this nation that is growing and that is in acceleration, and the hope deferred and the weariness and the tiredness that's been on the prayer army, it is breaking. It is rising up. There is a prayer and a cry that is arising from our nation again that is saying, God, we are not giving up. We will be the standard bearer. And we will appeal to heaven. This is the season that we are in. It is a time to cry out. Do not let your voice be silent. If your family needs a miracle, you pray. If your child needs a miracle, do not let your voice be silent. If you need a suddenly, do not let your voice be silent this year. Step in and say, God, I am standing with you in agreement for the promise. And even though we haven't seen it manifest, I am believing for a suddenly this year. So let's talk about what does suddenly mean, right? When are we going to get there? Let's look at Acts 2. Are you guys ready? So here we are in Acts 2, and it's verses 1 through 4. And, oh, Lord, I just thank you for your goodness, that for each of us, you know, the reality is sometimes we get into a place of believing for so long for something, right? That our faith, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I just don't have that faith. Sometimes that happens. And so I just want to encourage each of you, and you're in an awesome house here for this to happen. If you find yourself in a place of, man, I know God wants to do this, but my faith, I got to get it stirred up. You pray and stir your faith up, but you get with somebody that has the faith for what you need faith for and let their faith seed your faith. When I'm with Clay and Susan and having dinner and we're just friends talking, but you know, you know how that happens. You can say something or I can say something and realize, oh man, I needed that. That just seeded something in me that I needed it to be seeded because my faith has waned in that. God, I'm letting my faith, I'm going to let it be seeded. I'm going to be in atmospheres. I'm going to be with people that are going to seed faith in me this year and not doubt. No room for doubt. I'm going to get my faith seeded. Let that seed go deep. So in Acts 2, here we are. And think about this, guys. Here the apostles are, the 120. They're in that upper room praying. See, there's that air power, right? Praying. They had walked with Jesus for 3 years, right? Seen him do incredible things. They knew what he said would happen and come to pass. And before he ascended, he said, I'm going to my Father. And he said, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send something better. I'm going to send this to you. And so they're like, well, okay, all right. And he blesses them and he ascends. And, you know, and so here they are. It is 50 days after Passover. We know that Jesus had been the Passover lamb that day, that year, that time, that Passover season. That year. And so here he was. So 50 days after, here they are at Pentecost. 50 is the number for jubilee, for celebration. Not only was it 50 days, but it was 7 weeks. So it was a time of completion. So even the timing of this was prophetic. They had completed the old season, and it was time to come into a season of celebration and jubilee with what God was about to do. This is the kind of season that we are in now. They didn't know what the Holy Spirit was going to look like. Jesus had spoken it. They didn't know what it was going to be. They didn't know what it was going to look like, but he said it, so they're praying for it. God, we're going to pray. We're going to believe. Jesus, you said you're going to send this, so we're praying. We're believing. We don't know what it's going to look like, but if something's going to happen. And suddenly, let's read the verse. Suddenly, let's start in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. They were like-minded. They were in agreement. Jesus, we don't know what it's going to look like, but we want it. We want the Holy Spirit. Send the Holy Spirit. We don't know what that's going to be, but we trust you. What you have said has always been good and right. We are going to say, we are in agreement, and we're going to press in for this like-minded. And then suddenly, I love this. I'm going to read this verse. Suddenly, a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. This word suddenly literally means the definitions of these words. Logos Bible Software did a whole study on every one of these words for 3 or 4 days and read the articles. It literally means in an instant, something that had not appeared before made itself manifest in history. Suddenly. A sound, and I'm going to come back to that word sound, like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven. Guys, this word mighty, it literally means that it was carrying strength of the Spirit of God, and a strength with it being mighty coming into their mind. And then when it came into their thoughts, this strength, carrying a burden, a good burden from the Lord, came into their minds, and it rushed into their minds. This word rushing literally meant that it carried the ability to go into the deepest part of a man that can respond to God. So it wasn't like they were in this room and this little breeze came. There was this mighty carrying a burden from the Lord, a good burden, to go into their minds. And it rushed in to the very deepest part of who they were and changed them instantly from the inside out. Wow. This mighty rushing wind, this wind was the very breath of life of God that is essential for our existence with him. It didn't just happen to the apostles. It happened to all 120 at the same exact time. Can you imagine? Here they are in this room, and suddenly, and I'm going to come back to this word sound. This word sound, it literally means a good report. It means the blast of the trumpet. I love this. It means the sound of the waves of the ocean. How many of us love the ocean? I'm a woman. It's my happy place. I love the ocean. You can hear the roar of those waves, and it's full of peace and tranquility. And then all of a sudden, you can hear the waves. They pick up, and they're glorious, and then they get intimidating, and they're majestic. And it's just, you watch it, and you're like, God, you're just awesome. My favorite part of this word sound, it also means the roar, like the roar of a lion. Yeah. And when I was working on this teaching, the Lord reminded me of an incident that we had in 1999 in Zimbabwe, Africa. And we were there teaching and preaching, and we took NBA players with us that were believers and Christian. They played for the Houston Rockets, Dave Wood, Dave Jamerson, and they were believers, and they brought several other team members that were believers, and they had friends that were Harlem Globetrotters that were believers. So they came along with us. And they went and did basketball schools during the schools during the day, and then they would preach Jesus, and the teachers and the students would get saved. Well, we're out preaching and doing evangelism and preaching in conferences, and so it was a busy 11 days, awesome 11 days, and there was this gentleman that had came to one of our gatherings, and he had a refuge, an animal refuge, and they would rescue these wild animals when they were little babies or if they were orphaned or injured, and they would raise them from, you know, but these are African animals, like, you know, big ones, right? So they would raise them from little ones, and so, you know, but then they'd get big, so they had to build, like, the really big habitats for them. And so he said, would y'all like to come? I'll give you a private tour of our refuge. We said, okay. And so we're all going through, and we get to the big rhino cage, and you're really glad for the really big, thick cage, you know, because, but this rhino's across the field, and he recognizes, you know, the owner. And so he comes trotting over to the fence, running as fast as he can like a big puppy dog. And he puts his head over that big wood fence and does this with his lip, who wants to kiss the animal refuge owner. And he gave that rhino a kiss. And then he said, don't you want to kiss the pretty lady? I said, we are not kissing the big, ugly, smelly, stink. They stink. Rhino, that is not happening. But he had his doing this to me. I was like, I'm not kissing the rhino. So we go through, and we start seeing all the other animals, and all of a sudden, we end up at the lion habitat. So they had the lioness in one part and the lion in another, and we walk up to that fence, and praise God, it is a fence, it's like a chain link fence on steroids, right? Really tall, really big, and this lioness walks up, and we're all kind of like, you know, I mean, because it's pretty intimidating to be that close to a lion, and that lioness gets her ear up to the side of that fence, and that animal refuge owner starts scratching that lioness behind its ear, and that lioness purrs like a kitty. So now the lioness, except it's a lot louder than that, right? And so we're all like, oh, she's just a kitty, kitty, kitty. She's not mean. And so we all get to scratch behind her ear, and oh, wow, I'm touching a lion, you know. And then we go to the lion cage, and he comes walking up with the big mane. Oh, and his paw, they're just big, right? And he gets right up to that fence, and we're all a little intimidated again, and we start backing away, and the owner says, oh, it's okay. And he reaches behind the fence, and the same thing, that lion puts his ear up there, and he starts scratching behind his ear, and Mr. Lion starts to purr like lioness, except 1,000 times louder. They purr really, really loud. They got a loud motor, all right? So he's purring, and we're like, oh, Mr. Lion, he's just a kitty, kitty, kitty. So now we're all getting in there, getting our turn, scratching behind his ear. Well, this man was setting us up. Because while we're mesmerized by Mr. Lion, kitty, 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 one of his workers came up and dropped a bucket of fresh red meat, still dripping with blood, that was going to become Mr. Lion, kitty, kitty, kitty's lunch. So while we're petting Mr. Lion and taking pictures, he reaches down and he pulls up that piece of fresh red meat. And he stuck it right in front of his nose, in front of that fence. And Mr. Lion went from kitty, 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 kitty to roar. I mean, it was like, you were sucking air. You didn't, I mean, your whole life flashed in front of you. Mr. Lion was not a kitty, kitty, kitty anymore. Not only that, those NBA players were so terrified, they screamed like 12-year-old girls and ran. And I've never seen men ever run that fast in my life. I said, if you had run that fast, you would have won the championship a second time. They were, ah! And just abandon us women. We stayed. We stayed. Why did the Lord remind me of that experience with that lion? Because this word sound literally means that when it came in Not only did it carry the good report, not only was it a spiritual blast of the trumpet, not only is there that glorious sound that could come in from the Holy Spirit, but there is a sound of the Lion of Judah that came in that room. And when that mighty rushing wind came into them, the very breath of life of God that transformed them from the inside out, that sound was deposited in each of us. We all have a sound, whether it be praying like Becca Greenwood does in warfare, whether it be worshiping and praising the Lord, whether it be opening up our mouth, and whether it be speaking out in agreement with the Word of God, whether it be loving on somebody and saying, I love you, there is a sound of the breath of life of God that is in us that changes us instantly from the inside out. It is a sound of the kingdom of God that brings breakthrough and miracles. When it says this word came, it literally meant, literally when you look it up, that miracles were now possible. A sound like a mighty rushing wind came where miracles were made possible from heaven, from where God is. Is everybody okay? I have got a sound. Do you hear my sound this morning? I have a kingdom sound. When I worship, when I pray, when I speak, it is a Becca Greenwood Holy Spirit-filled sound that He has given me. Each of you have a sound in you. This is not a year for our voices to be silent. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. This word fill, I love it. It means completely full. It literally also means that they became fat and swollen in the Spirit. No Weight Watchers in the Holy Spirit, praise God. Literally, they were swollen in the Spirit. In that kingdom principle, not only were they filled, but as they filled, are filled up and they give out, somebody else gets fat. And then they get fat again. And you give out and they get fat. And then you get fatter and you give out. And it's a kingdom principle of swelling up in the Spirit as we allow the Spirit to flow out of us, through us, back into us. Full circle. Isn't that awesome? Woo! So here, they were filled, the whole house, the entire house. I looked up that word. Not only does the house mean that building, not only does the house mean the people that were there, because we're the temple, not only did it even mean the tabernacle, it meant all of those. It meant the room, it meant the people, it meant the tabernacle. My favorite part, it means the family line. From generation to generation to generation to generation, unending. I have the Spirit in me. The promise is, if I fill you, that there is going to be a filling, there's going to be a touching, there is going to be a blessing that comes down generation to generation, to generation, to generation. God is not a man that he can lie. If this verse was literally written out fully what it meant, it would say it filled the whole house, the building, the room, the people, the tabernacle of God, the ecclesia, the church of God, and every family member from generation to generation to generation for eternity. Come on. How many of us are praying for prodigals this year? So, Lord, we thank you that the promise is that if we are filled, because you are a father and you love us and you love our children, that they will be filled from generation to generation to generation to generation. We release the sound and we proclaim the promise of the goodness of God that our family will be saved and healed and filled with you. So now we get to the part we always hear about, right? Then appeared to them tongues of fire. This word appeared. Not only could they see it or perceive it, Clay, it literally means like their spiritual eyes all of a sudden were opened and they could see things in a new spiritual way. So there appeared to them tongues of fire. These tongues, it actually meant it was a joyful, eloquent language, and it was full of boldness that they could proclaim the message of God. And so can you think about it? So here they are in this room, and this mighty rushing wind comes, and it's like, and it fills them up, and all of a sudden, their spiritual eyes are open to see in a new way, and they are filled with joy. See, I think this is one reason why people thought they were drunk, because when they started praying in the other tongues, it wasn't just a little, and is it all right, Clay, can I just go here? It wasn't just a little, which is fine, I do that in my prayer closet. It was like this, it was joy-filled. They were full of joy. Look what just happened. Oh, we're living in a miracle. This is the Holy Spirit. And at that moment, they were filled with so much boldness that they became a living torch and a fire for God themselves. I want to burn for Him. I want to be on fire for Him. I want to be a fire that when I go out in the lost world, they're running up saying, who is it that you pray to? I have to know who He is. I want a fire. I want to burn for Him. It's not just a little ember and a little flame. So right now, for my brothers and sisters, everywhere where life has tried to put out that fire and that flame, I break off that attack. I break off those circumstances right now in Jesus' name. Get off their families. Get off of their physical health. Get off their finances. We are on fire for you, God. Holy Spirit, let us burn. Let us be a fire that can never, ever, ever be quenched. Oh my goodness. We are now the fire ourselves. And there appeared to them, and it was distributed and resting on each of them. Each of them received an equal portion. God is not looking at different people saying, you're going to get more and you're going to get less. Everybody received and distributed, and it rested on each of them all the same. This isn't just for Becca Greenwood. This isn't just for Greg Greenwood. This just isn't for Clay and Susan Nash. This is for the entire body of Christ. You are a fire. You are a living flame. You are a living torch. How dare the enemy try to rob that from us? We have to dare to believe again. No matter what the world says, no matter what the media says, God, we dare to believe again. I will not allow the world to silence us. We will not allow the world to take our faith. You are a consuming fire, Holy Spirit. We've got a sound. And our sound, friends, hear me, and Clay, I hope this is okay to say, it strikes fear into the enemy's ranks. We are not the ones to be afraid. We are the ones to issue fear into the ranks of darkness. I used to be bound by fear and depression. Hear me, it will never have me again. How I live my life How I choose to be that fire. How I choose to say, I will not let my sound be silenced. Right there, that shout. Fear in the enemy's ranks. Praise God. So they were filled. It says again, they were filled. God's wanting us to get it. They were filled to the full, swollen, complete. Full of joy. Full of authority. Full of power. Remember Peter, like at the transfiguration, right? And he saw Jesus, and he saw Elijah and Moses, and in their transfigured state. And it says that he woke up, and he said, oh, this is what we've been waiting for. We're going to build 3 huts here. Everybody's going to come up here and partake of what's happened here. I love it. The Word of God says he didn't know what he was saying. I love Peter. I can relate to him, right? How many of us have done that? He didn't think this time, I'm going to build a hut. I'm going to build something where everybody's going to come here. He got it. His eyes were open when it appeared to him. He had new spiritual sight. And when people begin to say, you are drunk, he didn't say, come up here and get some of this. He went out. And I'm not saying that's wrong, but he went out and he began to preach what God had given him. And 3,000 got saved. And Christianity from that day changed around the world for eternity. This is the kind of season that we're in. The works that God says, and greater works than these shall you do. Greater works. Wow. Greater works. Can you come play? Can someone come play the keyboard? What God was doing in that moment was not a casual episode. It was a full, complete changing from the inside out, new spiritual eyes open, their minds, the paradigm in their mind shifted. We get it. And like when the Holy Spirit came, it was literally like this. Taking their breath away and filled with the very breath and life of God. That life of God that is essential to us for life itself. The breath of life of heaven. You know, Clay, when the Lord gave me this, I wept. I laid on my prayer room floor. I said, wow, look at this incredible, incredible gift. Holy Spirit, how awesome are you? Change me from glory to glory. Change me from the inside out. Lord, don't let my voice, when I am discouraged, when things happen that the world brings to me or circumstances are the enemy, oh God, may I choose for my voice never to be silent. God, let me be consuming fire for you. Let your fire dry up every bit of the dross in my life. Holy Spirit, may I never minimize the greatness, the majesty, the glory, the magnificence, the awesomeness of who you are. That word came, such a little word that we would always overlook. The beginning of miracles occurred. Spirit came in you. When he came in me, he's that same Holy Spirit that they got. Same Holy Spirit came. And not only did he come, but he came that miracles would begin to appear in the earth.